Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 4th of January, recording at 9:29 p.m. And that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first a quick look at the highlights here today. Asian stock markets, well, they were mostly higher. China was an exception. The ASEAN markets were the strongest by far. Surges, another surge in Indonesia, the Philippines, also very close to a test of its highs of last year. Now, in Europe, we had a little bit of profit taking. That the one exception I see was Switzerland, which had a very small gain. The continental Europe had seen good gains over the two previous days. But a little bit of a retracement here today. In the Americas, Wall Street had an interesting turnaround here today. It was lower for most of the day and then picked up to close. Well, it was unchanged on the NASDAQ and mostly unchanged on the S&P. But if I look at the S&P future, for instance, it's a March futures contract. It closed at 1273, having been 10 points lower at one stage. And in terms of government bond prices, we saw a little bit of weakness today. The U.S. dollar is a little bit firmer, and that didn't deter gold from recovering a little bit more, up to 1,1612 and change, 1,612 and change. Silver was down, though, 41 cents. Platinum and palladium all down. So it was gold was the outstanding performer among the precious metals today. Now, oil remains strong, 103.50 for the WTI and 113.80 for Brent. And in the grain and bean complex, we had a little bit of profit taking. The industrial metals were also lower. Those are the main features on the day. Now, what do we make of all this? Well, so far, the stock markets are holding on to some fairly reasonable gains here at the beginning of the year. The patterns are interesting. I reviewed a number of them yesterday, and of course you can see them anytime you like in the chart library. But mostly what we see are extensive ranges that began to form following the climactic sell-off in August, and that's what we called it at the time, thinking that was not far, that was probably in the region of the lows, and that has proved to be the case for most of the world's stock markets, certainly on Wall Street, and for most of the European stock markets, other than some of the most troubled periphery European markets. And so those August lows were sort of tested in September and October, not exceeded by much except in a few instances, and have subsequently established a progression of higher reaction lows. Now that's encouraging because it indicates that demand is coming in at progressively higher levels. The supply still looks fairly formidable because most of these are still in overall downward trends. Their 200-day moving averages are falling in many instances. But some of these stock markets, as I reviewed yesterday, have begun to push back up above those 200-day moving averages, which are also leveling out. And in other words, they're also starting to push up above resistance levels. And the patterns have a clear appearance of support building overall. Now, Few things are conclusive in markets, and this isn't, given the number of indices that are still in overall downward trends, and we have yet to see a sustained break to new highs. But that it would not take much. It would only take a few reasonable days for the leading ASEAN stock markets, and they have led so often in the past, over the last decade or more, Indonesia and the Philippines, which I mentioned earlier, the US NASDAQ index is also closing in on its on its on its high, the NASDAQ 100 index. So it would take very little to sustain upward, in terms of additional gains, to sustain upward breaks. Now, why might that happen? Well, because the news is not quite so horrendous in that Europe has pulled, well, I should say the ECB has pulled a rabbit or two out of the hat in lending over 600 billion euros to the bank. Some call it a Ponzi scheme, and I'm not going to quibble with that. But the main point is that markets, as I've mentioned almost daily in these audios, were discounting a breakup of the euro and a fairly traumatic breakup of the euro overall. That hasn't happened. I maintain and have maintained throughout, as is Owen, of course, that that is not going to happen. Will we see a country or two drop out of the euro either this year or somewhere further down the road? Probably. And I've always said that I didn't think that the euro was a club that you could only join but never leave. So Greece may choose to vote itself out of the euro in a referendum, but nobody's proposing that right now. And I maintain that we have passed the nadir of the euro's crisis in terms of its ability to shock investors everywhere. And the euro, meanwhile, will remain an ongoing soap opera with no real resolution of the debt problem in sight for quite some time. And but you know, in today's markets, I don't think we need to worry about where the euro is going to be 20 years from now. Or perhaps not too many of us do, but the European stock markets represent good value and have some leading multinational companies and some attractive dividend payers. And monetary policy is going to remain accommodative for the indefinite future. By that, I would think at least a couple of years. And we are likely to see even more accommodative. Well, we're likely to see a further easing of monetary conditions in the Asian economies. Now, I mentioned all of these factors before. What could go wrong? Well, there are always lots of things that could go wrong. I don't think it's going to be the euro this time around. Could something go wrong with Iran involving the oil price? And yes, because certainly the saber rattling has led to some short covering in oil prices, and also perhaps some hedge buying as well. Now, the trouble is that oil prices are high enough so that even a moderate spike would cause problems against current background of the relatively soft global economy. Meanwhile, oil prices at these levels are money for old rope here for the more successful of the big international oil companies. So that's a concern. It's not a problem today, but again, we're not necessarily even a moderate spike could make things look worse. But overall, I think the monetary policy situation, against the background of reasonable valuations, is a bigger plus than the possible negative coming from oil prices. Now, looking elsewhere, what about the US dollar? So far, it has really been strong when fear levels are high, and it's tended to weaken when some semblance of confidence returns to the markets. And we have that prospect. I think we're more likely to see a continued moderate return of confidence to markets than another meltdown. I said last night, and I think it's true, certainly still true today, that maybe we just get more ranging, but the prospects for a melt up are greater than the prospects for a meltdown. And one other factor that causes me to feel that is the pessimism that we hear in so many quarters. And what's doing best? Well, see Owen's review today of the mining shares. They have not been doing best, but have firmed recently, and show some interesting potential, which I think is likely to be fulfilled if we get the growth economies picking up steam as 2012 develop. I think that should take place, provided we get the additional monetary easing in those countries that I'm anticipating. What about gold? Well, we really should think of gold as an alternative to fiat currencies. And that's certainly the way I've viewed it for well over the last decade. I've viewed it that way for my whole career, but sometimes we have a long disinflationary environment where gold can be out of favor. But all the monetary excesses that we're seeing, and there's been a certain trumpeting by some of the more leftish economists and commentators in the United States that Keynes was right all along, and this is another vindication of Keynes. So, well, I'll leave those debates to others. But what we certainly do know is that you can't go on printing money indefinitely without creating a fairly significant inflation problem somewhere down the road. Now, I don't think that that's imminent, although the UK inflation has been stubbornly high, and inflation has also been stubbornly high in some of the growth economies. But I think that what I'm really saying is that the risk of a surge in inflation is probably not too high in the United States, not too high in continental Europe right now. The risk of another surge of inflation in the UK is probably not too high right now, because there are also deflationary forces at work in these countries, not least regarding wages and house prices. So, I think we can be reasonably sanguine about that, but over the longer term, I think we will definitely see the purchasing power of these currencies decline really quite a bit. And therefore, gold should, at some stage, resume its overall upward trend. Now, will that be this year? It certainly could, although I'm less confident about that following the significant correction that we've seen in response to that accelerated overheating. I think gold has some support building to do, as do the other precious metals, before we can be reasonably confident that they're going to push to new highs. And that will take time. Meanwhile, I think that some short to medium term risks remain in the gold market, but it's probably a better buy on weakness than a sell on rallies. And I think that pretty much covers the main bases here today. Wall Street's close, encouraging. On that note, all the best to all of you.